proclaiming the gospel throughout the world. Bill Winston Ministries is bringing lost souls to Jesus Christ and teaching them how to walk in a victorious life. We invite you to receive all the blessings that God has for your life. Bill Winston Ministries presents The Believer's Walk of Faith.
All right, we're talking about real faith. Real faith. And then we're doing a subtopic called Developing Your Faith. Let's look here. I'll read here at Mark chapter 11, and I want to read one verse. Now, this is, of course, when Jesus had spoken to a fig tree, and the fig tree obeyed him. In other words, it dried up, and the disciples saw it, and they came to Jesus, and he began to teach them out of this. But let's look at Mark chapter 11 and verse 24. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, and ye shall have them. Now, this scripture is basically instructions for how to receive from God. Believe you receive them, and ye shall have them. Now, I want to read that out of Weymouth's translation, Richard Francis Weymouth's translation. And here's what it says. That is why I tell you, whatever you pray and ask for, if you believe that ye have received it, it shall be yours. Now, I want to read that, and I'd like you to read it. I'd like you to repeat it after me. That is why I tell you, whatever you pray and ask for, if you believe that you have received it, it shall be yours. Okay. And the Amplified says, for this reason, I'm telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it is granted to you and you will get it. All right. Now let's go over to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. All right. Let's read this definition or this particular verse around faith. And look at verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I want to read that out of Moffat's translation. Now, faith means that we are confident of what we hope for, convinced of what we do not see. Now, I want you to repeat that after me. Now, faith means that we are confident of what we hope for, convinced, convinced, convinced of what we do not see. All right. Now, the thing about both of these particular verses is that each one of these verses takes you outside of the senses or what you can substantiate physically, that it takes you beyond the sense realm. So you, in each one of these situations, you cannot appeal to your senses, nor your intellect, things that you've gained by experience, nor your emotions, or to your physical body, to substantiate anything. You cannot verify any of these things that he's talking about here through any one of those channels. You've got to, as it says over in Mark chapter 11, verse 24, you've got to believe. So you've got to take God at his word without any substantiating evidence in the natural world around you, that what he just said is so. Now, that's real faith, that you have have nothing around you to substantiate that what God said is so. Nothing. But yet, the Bible says in Romans 3, let God be true and every man be a liar. Okay? So let's go further into this now. I'm just take it real slow because faith is not difficult. People have made it difficult, but it is not difficult. Now, the New Testament is the last will and testament of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is simply a statement of those things that are legally ours or legally belong to us, that God said now belong to us, because of what Christ has done in redeeming mankind and redeeming us from the curse of the law. So it is spelling out what in fact belongs to you. So as you go through this New Testament, you will be able to see things that God says are promises. And these promises are ours. And they are promises that if we're going to access these promises, we're going to have to do it by faith. Faith operates outside of the natural senses. That you have nothing in the natural to verify that what this truth is yours. Could be received and could be yours. Could be used. Belongs to you. Is operating right now and given to you and for you. And it's for your benefit. There's nothing in the natural that you can use substantiated. Let me just give you an example. When God told Abraham and called him a father of many nations, Abraham had no children. There was no kids in his life except Ishmael, which came by one woman. But he said, you're going to have a child between he and his wife Sarah. Well, there was nothing in the natural to substantiate that truth. Because Sarah was 90 years old and had never had children. Am I right about it? Abraham was 100 and he was beyond the age of childbearing. So the only thing he had to hold on to was what the angel told him about he was going to be a father of a multitude. Now that's all he had. Now think about that, that all you have is the word of God. You don't have anything in your life that would substantiate the fact that what God just told you is true. He just said you're healed. He just said that wealth and riches shall be in your house. Whatever the promise is, there's nothing in the natural substantiated. Now, I want you to get this because it's not simple. I mean, not hard. It's very simple. But the thing of it is people kind of, I don't know, put it in some kind of complex format, but it's not that at all. So faith is simply taking hold of the things that God tells us are ours and reaching out into the spirit world where these things are, where God is, and pulling these things back into the three-dimensional world. Now, these things God has declared belong to us. And what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to take them. Now, you say, well, wait a minute. Why are you going to have to take them? Well, who gave them to you? God. Has he given them to you? Yep. He's going to give it to you. All the promises of God are yea and amen. He's already given them to you. There's nowhere in the Bible that says you're going to be healed. It says by his stripes. You are here. See, he's given it. Now, where are you going to have to take it from? All right? Let's go over to Numbers. Numbers chapter 13, please. Numbers chapter 13. All right? And this is when the 12 spies came back from spying out the land of Canaan. And when they did that, look at verse, I want you to see this. Have you got Numbers 13 yet? All right, verse 25. And they returned from searching the land after 40 days, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel and to the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came to the land where you sent us, and surely it flowing with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Now, let me ask you the first question. Is the land there?
Yes.
Yep. Promise is already there. Matter of fact, I bring back a little evidence. Natural evidence. Got it? Look what it says here, verse 28. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, so forth and so on. Verse 30. Caleb still the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Now, what is he basing that statement on? God's promise. Got it? Now, verse 31, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against these people, for we are stronger than, they are stronger than we. Now, what are they basing that on? All right. They're basing that on their own reasoning. See? Now, what God said is not reasonable. What they think is. I mean, here's somebody that's standing 10 feet tall or 11 feet, whatever it is, and you got an army of these people and you got to go up against these people. And he's saying, hey, wait a minute. These people are stronger than we are. Well, in the natural, if they're going to fight them with their own strength, perhaps that's true. But you've got to base what God said, his promise, on the word of God. And so if you ask the flesh is going to give you an answer. The flesh is going to tell you what the flesh has reasoned out, what the flesh has experienced. So you can't ask your flesh when it comes to the promises of God. You got it? You cannot seek your flesh. So notice now, verse 32, and they brought up an evil report of the land and the search, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we had gone to search it is a land that eateth up its inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it were men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. All right. Now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. We're talking about developing your faith. Developing your faith. See, once God says something and declares something, you cannot come back and try to verify it with your own senses or your own intellect. You can't do that. You've got to stay with what God said. And then, let's keep going. Let us therefore fear lest the promise left of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Underline rest. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with what? Faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into what? Rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished. The works were finished from the foundation of the world. Now they are finished. Now what is rest? Rest is faith. When you enter into faith, you enter into rest. When you believe, Abraham believed God. Once he believed, belief is nothing but an unqualified commitment. Meaning that you are totally committed to it no matter what comes. So once you start moving with God, you're going to have to come to a place where you make an unqualified committal, regardless of circumstances, appearances, sense evidence, or whatever, you're going to rest your case. Say, this is what is absolutely true. And it says for Abraham, he considered not his own body, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. For he was fully persuaded what God had promised, he was also able to perform. So you don't perform it. All you do is hold on to your faith. See? Because once you believe, you receive. According to the you believe you have it. So as far as you're concerned, you're not going to be talked out of that. So what we have to do in terms of receiving things, we have to just apply the fact that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of something I can't see yet. But where is it written? Right here. So what did the 10 spies bring back? They brought back some fruit. There was some evidence, naturally, that is there. And this is the only evidence naturally that you got that is written right in here. And you can read it with your mouth. You can see it with your eyes. This is your evidence that is there. I'm bringing you back the word. Here's the word right here. This is evidence that is there. Now, you're going to have to take this word and mix it with faith. You're going to have to put it in the mixer, which is your mouth. And you're going to have to start declaring what God says. And that is called confession. Confession, I'm not talking about going in some booth telling some man what you did wrong. Confession comes from that word, which means to be in agreement with. You have to say the same thing. The Greek word is homologio. It means to say the exact same thing. So you're going to say the same thing that God said. You cannot say, by his stripes, I'm going to be healed. What's wrong with that confession? It is not a good confession. You're putting what God did into the future. And that's called hope. And that's when hope becomes an enemy of faith. Got it? It becomes an enemy of faith. Now understand, all these things in here are legally yours. Let me show you how much is yours. Turn to Romans chapter 4, please. I'm not done with it. We're gonna run that unbelief out tonight. Look at Romans chapter 4. Let me know when you get to Romans chapter 4. All right, have you got it? In Romans chapter 4, look at verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir, what? Of the world, was not to Abraham or to his who? Seed through the law, but through the what? Righteousness of faith. So God promised Abraham he'd be what? Heir of the what? World. What does heir mean? Means an inheritance. You stand in a place of receiving an inheritance. And what? How much inheritance? The whole world. God was going to deliver the world out of the hands of the devil and his bunch over into the hands of Abraham and his seed. We were going from the bottom to the top. We were going from rags, come on, to riches. We were going from bondage to freedom. Now, what is he saying? This is what God promised. Now, all these promises in here are substantiating all of that. Every area of your life is taken into account. Every area. That's what salvation means. It means nothing missing, nothing broken. It's a peace of God. It's a shalom of God. In the area of your marriage, in the area of your health, in the area of your job or business, in the area, everything is going to prosper. Everything is going to be lined up with the word of God. Everything is redeemed. Okay? Now, we got to get that promised land, because right on the promised land right now, there are some giants sitting on it. So you're going to have to take it. Now, you're not going to go fight people, but you're going to fight the good fight, come on, of faith. And Satan does not want you to develop your faith, because he knows that is the only thing that'll defeat him. Let's show you that. Turn to 1 John chapter 5. Come on, I'm going to show you how to develop it real quick. Hallelujah. We're going to get some stuff here. See, it's all yours. The land is there. The promises are in there. But how do you get them? You got to get them by faith. Well, what you got to do is find out how to develop that faith so that you can pull that stuff in that's legally yours into your life. That you won't be shortchanged anymore of the things that God has already promised you. Look what it says in 1 John chapter 5. Have you got it? Verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Have you been born of God? Then you are a world what? Overcomer. This is the victory that overcometh the world, what? Even our faith. So one of the reasons why we need faith is because we have to overcome the world. Satan is in the world, and he's got a system set up to hold everything that God has promised you. He's got barriers set up that you've got to come through to be able to get the things that Satan has that belong to you that God has said is yours. When you go for your healing and you go through the Word of God, you're going to have to fight the good fight of faith. Because the enemy's going to try everything possible to tell you that either healing is not for you, you shouldn't have done that anyway. God is still holding you responsible for that. You are done. You've been married 5 times. You didn't raise those kids right. Look at one of them in jail, so forth. All that is going to be used to try to block you from your faith. As even he'll try to get people to come and tell you that Pastor Winston just trying to get y'all to walk in that stuff. He's not using that. You don't need no faith. All that stuff passed away, so forth and so on. God doesn't do that today. He does it like this and so forth. All kinds of unbelief, all kinds of things and so forth. Why? To keep you from using your faith. Because if you see your faith work in one area, let me tell you, it encourages you. It encourages you. You start moving and using your faith, and from one area to the next area and so forth, you'll see your faith getting fully developed. Faith pleases God. God says we walk by faith. We have to talk faith if you're going to talk with God. And you've got the Bible says for you to receive your inheritance, you're going to have to receive it by faith. For you to overcome the world, you're going to have to overcome it by faith. For you to do the impossible, you're going to have to do it by faith. For you to fight the good fight and win, you're going to have to fight it by faith. If you're going to make prayer work, you're going to have to do it by faith. Prayer doesn't make faith work. Faith makes prayer work. If you're going to have to live, the Bible says you're going to have to live by faith. Let me tell you something, my friend. It is all in the Word of God. Jesus walked by it. You're going to have to walk by it. Paul walked by it. Abraham walked by it. David walked by it. You're going to have to walk by faith. But one of the most difficult things that you're going to have in life is to leave the shores of the senses and launch out into the deep. Because the senses are going to try. The enemy, Jesus said, he's coming to me, but he's not going to find a thing in me. You see, Jesus had died to the flesh. The flesh couldn't tell Jesus nothing. He said, I don't even judge you after the flesh. Let me tell you, God wants you to leave that place and rise up in the spirit so that he can get everything that Satan's got that's holding it back. He's going to get it back to you. Now, praise God in heaven. Now, there are enemies of faith. And one of the enemies of faith today is mental assent. Mental assent. Now, what does mental assent do? Now, you can tell whether you got this by what I'm going to describe right now. Mental assent says, Joe, do you believe the Bible? Oh, yeah. Well, how much you believe? Oh, I believe from Genesis to Revelation. Praise God. Well, let me ask you, Joe, are you sick?
Yeah.
Well, see, he doesn't believe it. Mental assent says that all the Word of God is true. As a matter of fact, it'll quote as many scriptures as you can quote. But you don't see the person who has mental assent acting on the Word of God. Now, in these last days, you've got counterfeits coming in. They're not real folks. They're not real faith. They got a form of godliness, but have no power. You got what I'm saying? And what you need to do is get out of that bunch. Say amen to that.
Amen.
And you need to get over here where you got the true believers. I'm talking about real faith. Now, mental assent folks can quote all the scriptures, but they don't believe it. And you know they don't believe it because there's no fruit in their life. All you got to do is look for some fruit. See? Now, I'm not talking about people who are working on their faith. I'm talking about these are mental assenters. These folks have been around church for 40 years and still same way. Well, not that long. 3 years. Now, so when you start trying to escape or leave the realm of the senses, that's when the fight starts. Because the enemy will tell you everything. He'll threaten you with your life. He'll say, this stuff don't work. What are you doing? How are you living? You getting too fanatical about this stuff? And he'll try to send somebody who's very close to you to verify the fact that you have just gone too far. Am I right about it? Because the faith makes you extreme, according to what the world looks like. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, just stay with me now. So now we have to receive our inheritance. And what we do is labor in the Word to enter into the rest of God. Now, Abraham said, he who promised it is faithful to bring it to pass. All right, I'm going to use myself and my family for an example. Okay. Now, how did I receive my inheritance or the inheritance that I've received so far? I received it by faith. All right. How did I come to Chicago? By faith. Got it? I had nothing in the natural to verify to me that I was going the right way. Nothing. Now that's no different from Abraham. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Now don't get scared. Okay? I mean, realize that faith is not difficult. This is not difficult. It's a confidence that you have inside. You don't have anything outside to verify. What you're walking in is by the inside. Look what it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place where he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. So he went out by what?
Faith.
By faith. So obviously, he had nothing in the natural to verify the fact that he was doing the right thing. Are you following me? I'm saying you keep looking for a sign. But there is no sign. The only thing you got as a sign is faith. Now, I know the tree begins to develop. First the blade, and then the ear, and then the full corn in the ear. And when you do that, people in the spirit now will maybe come up to you and say something. Say, I had a dream you last night. I had a dream you got your airplane. Got what I'm saying? But if they told me, I had a dream you last night. I had a dream that you wanted an airplane, but God said, wait,
Just wait, and I'm going to give you one 3 years from now. Now, whether they'd have told me I had an airplane or that God said, wait, and I didn't get an airplane. Either way, that ain't going to move me. Got it? It's not going to move me. They can say that and thank God for it, but that's not going to move me. My confidence is not in that. My confidence is inside. Everything I need is inside. Every piece of evidence and confidence that I need and assurance is already in me. I have had people laugh at me about that bank. They have laughed at me. Now, I didn't know I was going the right way to receive that bank by faith. But then, after I received by faith, we started working on it. All of a sudden, somebody went on the internet and pulled off what the amount of money is that has flowed through churches for the year 2002. And they pulled off that through the year 2002, approximately $119 billion came through the church. Well, that's an industry. I mean, we can put up a bank if we can just get $3 billion of that and let it float for about 7 days or 20 days or 18 days or 14 days. We can just get the interest off of it. We can build 40 churches debt-free with just the interest off that money. Think about it. But each one of the churches fighting each other. My denomination's better than yours, and you don't do what I do, and you know my tongues is better than your tongues, and so forth. But notice, the enemy keeps them divided because a house divided, it can't stand. But you can get the churches and just get that revenue together and get that money together. And all these churches trying to build and trying to work and all the preachers trying to go to work and then come home and run a church and so forth. You can take them folks out of that job, put them full time in there, give them a salary. Think of the things that you could, think of the countries that you could rescue. Glory to God. But instead of people thinking like that, they laughed at me. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Where are you? Look at Hebrews chapter 11 and look at verse 3. Have you got it? Through faith we what? Understand. Stop right there. Through faith we what? Understand. I believe revelation and comprehension comes through faith. That people that are not in faith cannot see what you can see in the scripture. See, I can see it. Because as you walk by faith, the more faith you walk by, the more separate you become from the world. And the more separate you become from the world, the more you can see. When I'm flying airplanes, and I fly airplanes, and I'm going up, if I fly a little Piper Cub, little single-engine Cessna or something, then I'm just up about, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 feet. You can't see much. But if you go on up there into the PCA, you going up above flight level 180, go up to 36,000 feet, or go up to 42,000 feet, or go up to all, and all of a sudden, you can see five cities. But down here, you can't see all of the treetops. I'm saying the more you get in you and the more you act on, the more separate you become from the world and the clearer you can see its deception. That's why the enemy doesn't want you to act in faith, because when you act in faith, it separates you from the world. But for you to act in it, you're going to have to put that flesh down, homegirl. And I'm talking about one time, you may have to turn that plate over for 24 hours. Because your flesh is going to start talking to you. And it'll try to convince you that this stuff may not work for you, blah, 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 blah. And it does work. He who promised it is faithful to do it. He knows when your rent is due. Does this make sense to you? So all the things that we did came here. Now, it's time for us to get our own house. See? Now, My wife one day, she said, you know, I need my own house. How many of you know women want their own house? Here? Well, we started believing for a house. But the first thing we did was we went to the Word. See, because if it's not in the Word, you don't want it. Got it? If it's not in the Word, it's not your promise.
Come on now.
So I got to go to the Word to validate the fact that that promise is mine. So what do? I go, we find the house in Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm not going there. You can find it yourself. So then we take it and begin to start mixing it, come on, with faith. We start developing our faith. Why? By confessing that word. The more you hear it, the more you believe it. The more you believe it, the more you say it. The more you say it, the more you hear it. And the more you hear it, the more you believe it. You see what I'm saying? Now I'm building my believing because I gotta believe. I'm changing that unbelief to believing. Now, I'm not talking about a house I got to pay for on time. Anybody can buy that. I ain't talking about no house like that. Come on now. I know you think of that. Come on now. You give me that much credit. So I'm talking about a house debt-free. Why? Because it's already mine. Who's got it? The giant. What is he doing? He's sitting on it. Who belonged to? Me. Who gave it to me? Jesus. It's my inheritance. So now what do? I begin to believe for that. Glory to God. And then pretty soon God begins to start leading us. He started leading us. Led us to sow a seed. Now, I don't question it. I don't question what God tells me to do. Because once I get into the faith walk, I'm depending totally on Him. That's the only voice I'm looking for. Now, here comes the enemy. Not in that situation, but let me give you a situation. Here we are believing for the mall. And now it's time for us to come up with the money to close on this mall. Closing is next week on Thursday. And this week is about Wednesday, about right where it is right now. And they want money. We moved the closing one time because the money wasn't there. The man had sent a note, the lawyer, said we're not moving it again. If you don't have it, we've got some developers that are ready for the property. I said, okay, Lord, me and you. All right. Now the pressure came on me. It started with a dear brother. Somebody said, dear brother. He comes in my office. He puts a scripture in front of me. I saw the scripture. I said, oh. Can I show you what that scripture was? Turn to Luke chapter 14. Somebody said, dear brother. Luke chapter 14. Let me know when you get there. Look at verse 28. Now understand, our church had saved some money. And we had saved approximately, I don't know, somewhere close to $3 million. Okay? But we needed $5.2 million to buy the property. Now, understand, I want to say that was a steal, but that's not Christian. That was a good deal. That was a good deal. All right? Now, look what it says here in Luke chapter 14, verse 28. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it. Lest happen. Now, this brother putting this scripture in front of me now. Say, dear brother. Come on, say, dear brother. Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to what? Mock it. Saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Lord have mercy. Dear brother, right? I read that and I'm telling you, I almost sunk through the chair. I went home and got into bed. Now notice what this is bringing. Doubt. And doubt is an enemy of your faith. This devil used scripture on me to rob me of this moment. And that's the same way he did Jesus when Satan came and tempted him. He said, wait a minute, now it's written. Jesus said, yeah, but it's also written. Now, I'm only saying that, you know, that had me going. But I held on to my faith. Because faith wasn't in the confidence of anything outside. It was a confidence that I had in here, the assurance that God has given me the land, that the land is in here. So now I'm having a war because Satan used that thing and more pressure came on me. I never want to go through that ever again in my life. That pressure came on me like you wouldn't believe it. Lord, have mercy. So now, what's happening? I had to get a revelation of that scripture. And after I got out of the battle, I began to study, count the cost. Well, wait a minute. I thought it's already paid for. See that? Faith is the currency of the kingdom. Count your faith and see if you got enough to build this thing. Glory to God. He wasn't talking about natural money. He's talking about true riches. Lord have mercy. Then I start thinking back. I don't remember anything that the Lord told me to do that I have enough money to do. If I had enough money, I'd just go on and do it. Everything he's asked me to do, I didn't have enough money to do it. He asked me to come in when I had $200. He didn't ask me to come in when I had $20,000. He waited till I got down to 200 smackaroos and told me to get out of Minneapolis and go to Chicago and live with my family. Because he knew I had sufficient amount of faith to build a tower. Can't you see what I'm saying? Faith is your currency. Where is your faith? I turn back to Matthew chapter 9. That's why you're sitting here. Now, I'm letting you know that the enemy comes after your faith. And he'll use a dear brother. And they will come with scripture. Where did I tell you to turn? Matthew what?
Nine,
okay. Did y'all get that?
Yeah.
I'm telling you what I went through so you won't have to go through it. Verse 16. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his what? Word. Pardon me. Okay, stay there. Verse 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying, saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, Believe you that I am able to what? Do this? Do you believe?
Yes.
I said, do you believe?
Yes.
They said to him,
"Yea, Lord."
Then touched he their eyes, saying, what?
According to your
what?
Faith.
Come on.
Be it unto
you. You see what he's saying? He's saying your faith has been developed sufficiently that you can receive your sight. That every level or everything that we want as our inheritance, we got to pay for it. Now, it's been paid for naturally, but we have to present some faith. I shouldn't say pay for it because it's been paid for, but we have to present faith sufficient amount to transport it back into our lives. You got what I'm saying? So if I want a necktie and the necktie costs $100 and I only have $20, can I get the necktie? If the necktie costs $100 and I only have $20, can I get the necktie? Wait now. Let's deal with the natural. I know y'all spiritual. Can I get the necktie in the natural? No. What do I have to do? I have to get some more faith. I have to get some more money. Faith is just like that. Money in the natural, faith in the spirit. Okay? But if I don't have all of it, and I say I got a friend that's got about $80, can I hook up with that friend? Can you loan me your faith? You got what I'm saying? And it's often called a prayer of agreement. Because I can hook up with somebody else's faith and have a sufficient amount of faith to transport it in. Now, what else did I believe for? I believe for an airplane. Okay? We got our house by faith, debt free. Okay? When we got that house by faith, debt free, in the mall was trying to do some other things. They needed us to go back and get some additional money. The bank did. And the bank came to me and said, "We'd like to, Pastor Winston, yes, sir. We want you to make a personal guarantee, sir. We'd like to have you to put up your personal effects for collateral." I said, "Sir?" I said, "What do you mean, personal effects?" "Well, your house." So I said, No, I'm not putting that up. They said, "Well, you need the money, and that's the only way you're going to get the money." I stood up, I said this, "Mister, if my house is what I got to put up to get this money, keep it." I started walking out. President ran and grabbed me and said, "Wait a minute, let's work out something." The devil was still after that house. When you get that promise, he ain't through yet. He'll try to steal your healing. Come on. He'll try to steal your marriage. Come on now. God gave you that marriage. You got what I'm saying? You got to keep him out. We're out of time. I had some more, but we're out of time. Praise God. You have faith. Faith comes by
hearing.
And hearing by what?
Hearing.
You got it right now. Just by hearing what I did, your faith is there too. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, we got some big things coming now.
Amen.
Are we going to hold on to our what?
Faith.
Hold on to our faith. Don't let nobody talk us out of it. God gave me that to give you today.
Amen.
How somebody came, an enemy of faith, and they came to try to steal my faith. Now, I had developed it, but they came with scripture and tried to steal what God was giving us. And they thought probably they were doing good. Now, they haven't seen anything yet, because we're about to start some building out. You wait till we get through with this place.
Amen.
I'm not going to even tell you all what I'm working on for the congregation. No, I ain't even going to it, but it's something real good involved what's going to happen with that mall that you can benefit by, even for you. It's been something for you. And it's not a trick. It's something good. You know, people go out here, they think, he wants some more money. I don't even want your money. I'm trying to get a way for you to make money. Okay.